Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Well, good morning, everyone. Why don't you stretch your hands towards me and say, help him, Lord. I mean that, actually. Lord, I just ask you to give me the words to say. So many things I could say today. I pray you come and just infiltrate this house. Pick me up, and Lord, I pray that I'd say only what you would want me to say. That you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I find it cute some of the things that are going around on Facebook. Some of the things that are going around are cute. recently, a couple people have had it, and they said, if you think you can cancel Christmas, you have no idea what Christmas is about. Come on, isn't that true? You know, because if it's a holiday and it's just about gifts, you can cancel that. But you can't cancel our faith. You can't cancel what it's all about. Yeah. Amen? So turn to your neighbors and say, thank goodness they can't cancel Christ. Because that's what Christmas is about. Amen? Amen. Amen. I sang too much today. My voice is raspy. Turn your Bibles to Romans. This may be a mishmash. Turn to Romans 15:13. We're going to start with a verse. This is our last Sunday. It's really almost like the last of one Sunday, the beginning of another Sunday. We're moving. It's really the first. We don't necessarily do the Advent candles and all that, but this is the first day of Advent. As we gear up towards Christmas, we're ending our series on hope. But I'll tell you, just like you can't cancel Christmas, you can't cancel Thanksgiving. I don't mean the holiday. I'm thinking, yeah, we're American kind of. No, we Thanksgiving was a long time ago. You can't cancel thanks, but you can choose not to. But nobody can cancel that for us, can they? Like, you have to make a choice to cancel your thanking. And I've been through a couple of seasons. This week was not an easy week for me. Preparing this was not an easy time. Just so much going on in the world right now. And I found myself a couple weeks ago even being dissatisfied with the things that I had, even in my house. Have you ever had a moment like that? You look at some of your furniture or a wall. Anybody ever have that where you're disappointed and you wish you could change it? Yeah. This was like that, but going a little further where you begin to be disappointed. And I would actually say begin to be ungrateful. It wasn't that my house was anything wrong with it, because I look at it now in a different mindset and I actually like everything. But in a moment when I was becoming ungrateful, I began to look at things and wish I had other things. And I realized today that just like you can't cancel Christmas, you can't cancel thanking the Lord. Amen. That'll never die unless you choose to let it die. You can't cancel Christmas because where two or more are gathered, Christ is there in the midst of them, and we can celebrate that all year round. You tracking with me? Okay, Romans 15. We've been looking at this scripture verse. I want to dive a little deeper into it today. We are going to have communion at some point, so if you don't have communion, we'll make sure you get some. Romans 15, verse 13. By the way, you can't cancel hope. It's a choice. Amen. I went to bed Friday night feeling a little hopeless. You should be thankful that I didn't have to preach Saturday morning. Because I had to get a grip. I had to get an upgrade on my hope. And it's not because of what you think, actually. A lot of people think, you know, there's a lot of hopelessness because, oh my gosh, what if we get shut down again? Actually, that's not what I was feeling hopeless about. I had to get some believing in check. And I want to share this with you because there's a word in here, and that is the word believing, that it's easy to miss in this scripture verse. It says, now may the God of hope, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and I'm so thankful for everybody that brought a word about hope. It says, now may the God of hope, so we serve right off the bat a God that's full of hope. So you can't cancel hope. It's a choice. Turn to your neighbor, anybody around you, and say, hope is a choice. Okay. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now let's stop. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. If you find your peace and joy increasing, then you know your hope is increasing. I'll try that again. If you find your joy and peace increasing, your hope must be increasing. It's tied together. It's scriptural. That's not motivational. That's scripture. May the God of hope fill you. So as you're being filled, if you are being filled with something, something's going to happen. And in this case, it's saying, fill you with all joy and peace. But here's a word we didn't talk about this first week. In believing. It's an interesting word to put in there. Because it actually would, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that you may abound. You could actually skip that and think it's okay. But it's not. The word that we're talking about, believing, literally is contingent on everything in that scripture verse. I said this stat the first day when I preached about hope. 80% of your success in life is based on the mindset you carry inside of you. Can you imagine that? A lot of times we think it's, well, it's my teacher, it's my boss, it's the one that interviewed me that didn't give me the job. A lot of times it actually has to do with the environment that we carry. The mindset that we carry. And this is literally saying, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Friday night I began to realize, and all day Saturday, I needed a belief upgrade. I think right now, the church of North America needs a belief upgrade. First time we ever went anywhere exotic, it was Florida, but the second time when we left, you know, these shores and went to Mexico, as a whole family, I think there were, I don't know, 12 of us. We'd never been anywhere like that in our entire lives. And I remember getting up there and we had regular rooms and we're like, maybe we can get an upgrade. I've talked about this before. How many like upgrades? And it's nice to go to from a queen to a king size bed, isn't it? Somebody said yes, really like, yes. You don't know my husband. Yes. Those sprawlers when they sleep. So we asked for an upgrade. We went from this little hotel room to like a penthouse suite. And when you have three small kids, do you guys remember? We had three small kids. When you're in a little hotel room for a week, oh dear Lord. We walked into this room and we're like, do we have the right door? Does our key actually work in this door? It was the biggest room I've ever been in. Two balconies. Two beds. Pull-down bed. Couches. I felt like the president, prime minister. It was everything. A big hot tub. That's a funny story. How much time do I have? Little aside. All right. When you get to Mexico, they say, do not drink the water. Right? When you go to a foreign nation, don't drink the water. Okay. So one day we're down at the pool. This is a little side. And I'm getting drinks for us all. And as I'm coming back, I see Krista running. And I see somebody else go running. And as a parent, when you can't see your kids, drop the drinks and run. So I get there to find out. Caleb and Ben, they got cold. It was a cloudy day. So they decided to go to the hot tub, which we had in our room. It was the upgrade. It was beautiful. And little did they know they were trying to turn on the tap. The tap broke while it was on and the water started to shoot out. And the water's shooting right into Ben's face. And he says afterwards, he's like, I'm not supposed to drink the water. I'm not supposed to drink the water. It sprayed all his face and water goes everywhere. It was a great, great, great time. I remember coming back after they cleaned the room. I pulled back the sheets. The bed was soaked. And the maid's like, the only time I think she must have been Christian. She's like, oh, Jesus. And she's pulling the sheets apart. Okay, what is my point? It's a good question. Funny story. That's all that part was. Upgrade. My point is this. I could have lived in that little hotel room for a week. And other times we've had to. Three kids crammed into a hotel. But I'll tell you, it felt good to have that upgrade. It felt good to have space. It felt good to have all this extra. And I'm telling you right now, our belief system has to be upgraded. Because if you think you can cancel church just because we're not in the building, come on, church. If you think you can cancel Christianity just because we're not in this building, that's why we're so thankful that the church is not a building. The church is people. I'm saying all that right now because there's a lot going on in the world, and I want you to know, I went to bed on Friday night thinking things were a little hopeless, and I woke up today because of Saturday, because I had an upgrade in my beliefs, thinking again that this could be the greatest hour of the church, not the worst. That what could happen in the next 4 to 6 weeks could literally launch us into the greatest days in our lifetime of Christianity. I really believe that. And I don't believe it's because we get a better band, because our band's great. I don't think it's because we get more lights, but we do have lights ordered because we want to make sure things are getting dark up here. It's actually not all about that. It's because of you. I'll try that again. It's because of you. The greatest hour right now is because of you and me. And what can happen in the next 4 to 6 weeks? Because a world, Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 60, talks about the world, you know, arise and shine for your light has come, but great darkness shall cover the world. Yeah, there's a lot of darkness right now. There's some evil things and things going on that we do not like. I get that. But you know what the greatest darkness is? It's over people's lives. Brokenness and pain and discouragement and people losing incomes that they have fought for. All that is going on. And the greatest thing for the church is to be a light right now. Literally to have the opportunity. Spent time even yesterday outside. I was trying to get a project done. Oh, Lord, help me. There's so many things I want to say. I want to be careful. But in the moment when I was outside, my neighbor's daughter came out and she calls me Uncle JJ. I don't even know how that began. I don't even know how she found out that was my nickname growing up. I don't think she knew, but one day she called me Uncle JJ. It got really awkward because her uncle actually showed up. I'm not sure what his name was, but she's over here calling me Uncle JJ and he's like, come and play over here. And she's over here. And I thought in the moment, because Frank and I got into a great conversation about church and he doesn't go, but as we began to talk, it opened my eyes to realize what they need in this hour. They need hope. And as I sat and I literally played and picked stones up with his daughter, I thought, I don't know if I'd rather be any other place right now in this moment because I am the church and the doors are open. Right there in that moment, I was the church. And I had a choice whether my doors would be open or not. We had a great conversation, great time playing with her daughter. I love that family. I'm going to continue to love that family. During the cleanse, things are coming up. We're going to change. We need a belief upgrade right now that we are the church. Amen. There's a lot of things, you know. I'll keep going. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and belief. Let me stop, sorry. Like I said, I'm going to be all over the place. You need to understand something. I think it is so important for us to gather on Sundays. It's a beautiful right that we have. I wrote down two important things. It's so important for us to gather. It's so important for us to worship. But it's more important that I teach you, that we teach you how to make sure wherever you are that you can commune with Jesus no matter what. Amen. That is actually more important. That is more important. Turn to Ephesians. We'll come back. Because it's like, do I say that? Because it's like I'm shooting myself in the foot because this is what I do. No, actually what I do is Ephesians 4 verses 12 to 15. Verse 11. And I want to actually read this, follow along in your Bible. I'm going to read the first part of it, maybe the whole thing, out of the Passion. But I really love as it says this. It says, and he has appointed, this is Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 15. And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles. I love how the Passion Translation says that. And some with the grace to be prophets. And some with the grace to be evangelists, and some with the grace to be pastors, and some with the grace to be teachers. There is a grace on our lives to do what we're called to do. Yeah. My Aunt Joanne is a nurse. I do not have that grace. Anybody else want to say an amen to that? Not that I don't have that grace, that you don't have that grace. I'm so thankful I'm not called, because the things that nurses do and doctors do, you got me at the enemas. I think, and you watch a nurse and they light up when you talk, they talk about it. Oh, did you see that wound? It's funny. There's times when Krista was in the hospital and different things, they call each other to come see the wounds. And they, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. You're like, it's not amazing. Like, Dorman sent me pictures of his wound. I'm like, oh, that nobody should see that. Ever. And nurses have this grace. That's what Paul's talking about, this grace that's on people's lives. So why do I say that? Because there's a grace on our lives to do what it's called, that it says to do. And it says, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own work of ministry. As they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. I don't know if you could say it any better than that. That is beautiful. I'm going to read it one more time. This is the Passion. And their calling, my calling, is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Oh, that is so beautiful. Because what it's saying is that we get to nurture and equip you. That's how the King James, or the New King James, it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I needed a belief to go higher, because if we think it's only about these four walls, which we don't, I know that, but I'm just reiterating, if we think it's only about these four walls, we will be disappointed. But if we leave here, and I don't know, maybe we won't go into lockdown. Signs look like we're going to. I'm just preparing us that if we do, I'm declaring it's the greatest season of the church. Because the church will leave the building. And I know we always leave the building, but I think if we have an upgrade in our belief system and realizing that our hope is bigger than all this, and that we could leave every day going, I'm the church is open, let's get to work. I'm going to say that again. I'm the church is open, let's get to work. Because there's a world right now that needs to see a true church. Say, help, Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians. The very end, it says these words. 1 Corinthians, a beautiful chapter on love. We use it at most weddings. It seems to be, you know, because I don't know how we just equate it to weddings, but when Paul was writing this, he was actually equating it to the body of believers. It's something we all have to carry. But at the very end, it says this, and now abide faith, hope, love. I thought it was really interesting. I'm going to put it this way. Different translations don't say this. This is my translation, my paraphrasing. Because we looked at the word abide in October. And I want to say it this way. And when we abide or dwell with him, these are the three things that should be major components. It says faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And I don't think it's a... I don't think he's just writing. I actually believe that there is a step-by-step process. So let's look at that for a second. It says, now abide faith. How many know you can have faith in Jesus and lack hope? Anybody want to agree with that? I've seen a lot of people that have faith in the Savior but lack hope. Just like I did Friday night. I needed a hope belief upgrade. So you can have faith in the Lord Savior and actually be hopeless. I've seen many. How many also know that you can have your faith in a Savior and have zero love for people? Now, Paul will over and over say, this ought not to be. How can this be? This is, and I agree. But yet, I've been there myself where I struggle to have love for someone because of pain or offense. And yet, as 1 Corinthians talks about the whole chapter, it says love, and he goes through, it's not a clanging cymbal and blah, 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 blah. It's all these things. It's not easily offended. That's the kind of love. But I know that it has to start with faith. It has to start with faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? So remember, faith, hope, love. I told you, we're going to go all of the scriptures today. Romans 5, please turn. These are a lot of the hope scriptures, and some of these hope scriptures we'd like to avoid. Five, we'll start at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Point number one. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so thankful I'm justified by faith and not works. Let's try that again, because it was really quiet. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so thankful I'm justified by faith and not by works. Now, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you thankful that justification actually leads to peace with God? Can you remember all that? Like, sometimes we think it's so difficult. I'm so thankful that my justification through faith leads me to have peace with God. So when I wake up in the morning and I've blown it, I don't have to try to figure out how to work my way back into the kingdom. I'm so thankful, but faith has justified me. My receiving of Jesus Christ has justified me, and I'm at peace with God. Through whom we also have access, what? By faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We may have time to turn to Philippians, but all for 2 weeks, the line that I kept hearing in Philippians was, I have learned. I have learned. It just kept ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing through my head. And it was actually Paul saying, I have learned literally to be full of joy in all occasions. And I thought, wow, it's interesting. Paul, just because of his faith, didn't have it. He learned to become okay with not having enough. And okay with having too much. So on the good days, he's okay. On the bad days, he's okay. Actually, Philippians is one of the most joyful books when you read it. And you know where he wrote that from? Prison. I'm like, wow, I'm missing it. Right? I'm joyful when I get the upgrade to the bigger room. And then I go to another vacation and we are crammed in this little room and I'm not happy anymore. Don't they know who I am? They're like, no, we don't. What's my point? His joy was internal. His hope was internal. And it's talking about this faith that brings it on. And not only that, verse 3, but we glory in tribulations. Say what? Paul's like, we glory in tribulations. Tribulations literally means pressure, stress, and oppression. I don't know about you, when's the last time you woke up and went, I am so thankful today, I am going to glory in the tribulation I'm in? There's a side and an upgrade of belief. There's a side of the kingdom that I'll be honest with you, I need an upgrade. Because when I sometimes go through hard times, I don't necessarily first stop and say, I'm so thankful, I glory in this tribulation. So thankful, Lord, that I'm going through this. But it's interesting because he says, I glory in tribulation knowing that, why? This is the why. That tribulation or oppression or stress produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And it would be nice to stop there because you think that's really good that all this has created character in me. And character, hope. And then he says, now hope does not disappoint because of the love of God has been poured out in our hearts for the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I want to make mention of three things. It talks over and over again about faith. And then it says all these things through tribulation and perseverance and character leads to hope. And then it says, now the hope does not be disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Why do I say those things? Because 1 Corinthians 13 talks about faith, hope, love. These three are the pillars, but the greatest is love. What does the world need to see right now? It needs to see a Christianity that goes far beyond anything it's ever done before. I'm being challenged by my own thoughts. Because I'm like, I could turn to the Acts 2. God starts moving in the church. And what do? This is the part that I'm like, oh, this is uncomfortable. But it says, they sold everything they had. And if somebody had need, they made sure that they were taken care of. I don't like that scripture. But I'm telling you right now, if there is ever a time for Christians to show the greatest love we ever have, it's right now. I think sometimes we put the cart before the horse. We want people to get saved. We want them to become part of our group, and then we're going to love on them. I think we got to reverse that. I think we need a belief upgrade. I think we have to start loving people beyond. I always think of you guys downtown because you love so well downtown. It's amazing. But I'm aware that my love has to go beyond where it is right now. I got crazy ideas starting to come into my head, like, if there's a restaurant that I know that's struggling, we've seen it in the papers the last few days, man, I think it's time that we actually start sending them money for the meal that we didn't get. Oh, that was quiet. What about our hairdresser that if they have to go out of work, they were like, hey, thanks for the haircut, here's the money. I didn't give you a haircut, I know. Tell the church, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Why do I think it's going to be the greatest hour for the church? I think the greatest hour is coming because we're going to step out of our comfort zone and be a church like they've never seen before. The reason why the church is dying because they've seen the church. They've seen the church on the news. They've seen the horrific things that happen within the church sometimes. I'm dreaming, and I think God's dreaming, of a church that goes far beyond anything we've ever lived right now. It's really quiet. I'm being challenged, saying, Lord, this could be the greatest day. Is it the greatest day because we can be in the building and worship again? I don't think that makes this the greatest day. The greatest day is when we leave the building to see what we're going to do. I'll tell you a story I haven't told before because, you know, the masks are constant controversy. I don't believe I've shared this, but I had a day where I was picking up, maybe I did, but you'll get to hear it again. I had a day where I was picking up a trailer, I was buying a trailer. And when I went to look at the trailer, I'm outside, I didn't care, I didn't have a mask on because I'm outside, no need for it. As I looked at the trailer, the gentleman came out, showed me the trailer, and So decided to buy the trailer. The next day, I had to get a few things in order. I went to go there to look at the trailer. And as I looked at the trailer the second time and to grab some paperwork to go to the license bureau, I'm outside. I don't have a mask on. He has a mask on. Didn't think anything of it. I'm outside. Didn't care. So as I was driving to the license bureau, got everything taken care of. God bless me at the license bureau. It was so cool because I thought I was going to have to pay something I didn't have to. It was awesome. As I was driving back, the Lord said to me, you didn't honor him. I'm like, I didn't honor him. And it was really clear, not like the booming voice of God, just that inner knowing, because I wasn't thinking about that in the moment. You know, when you're not thinking about it and it hits you and you're like, oh, how did I not honor him? And I realized I didn't wear a mask. I have no clue. Why do I need to wear a mask? I'm outside, blah, blah. The thoughts go through my head. I'm like, all right, I'm going to honor him. If that's what you're saying, Lord, I'm going to honor him. So I walk outside, put my mask on. He comes out. I got all the paperwork. Meanwhile, while I was gone, he actually upgraded the trailer, which is so cool. And his wife saw that I had this rest shirt on. Remember, Donna, you gave me the picture of that feather. And I had this shirt. And she's like, oh, I love that feather. I'm like, oh, it's a beautiful story. Rest means a lot. And I tell her the story. She comes back afterwards. She has this beautiful feather for me from out of her house. Just really cool God things. So I'm wearing my mask, and as I have a chance, he's got his mask on. We're finalizing everything. And I say, hey, I'm just curious. You know, I didn't have my mask on, then you did. He's like, oh, he says, I should have been wearing my mask. He says, I don't know what happened, but this year, my lungs are shot. He lists all these things that were wrong with him, that he is in like the highest risk category if he gets COVID. I think what happened is he got inside and his wife... But it was interesting because with my mask on, and you say, oh, masks aren't important. I know, that's up to you. That's fine. But I said, can I pray with you? And the doors opened. And I had a beautiful moment to pray with him. I had a beautiful moment to even get close to him and just put my, I said, can I put my hand on your shoulder? He said, yeah. He's just welled up because he's in a dark place right now. And I was so thankful that it just took me to honor him with a mask. That's how I feel. That's all it took for me to step into his world and love on him. And I'm saying I'll do whatever it takes to be able to do that. Church, I'll do whatever it takes. In the next few weeks, I think we got to start getting the mindset, I'll do whatever it takes to be the light of the world. Whatever it takes. We may look at the next few seasons, the next few weeks, the next few months. I don't know what it's going to look like. I actually am getting pretty excited for the next few weeks and months. I know that sounds weird, doesn't it? But I'm like, what if we took our faith, our hope, and our love to a whole nother level? What if I could teach my kids to do that? Do you know how much stress is in this world right now? And you carry inside of you the Prince of Peace. You carry Christmas inside of you. Because Christmas is Christ. You carry him inside of you. And I think if we have this belief upgrade that we begin to go, and I know I've talked about it over and over again, but I feel like this is the season to make it happen. That wherever I go, I'm like a belief upgrade and peace for people. I love it. I was talking to Max Van Horn, didn't realize until recently, he's taking some side jobs and he's driving the bus. How many know Max? Is Max a quiet guy? How many know that Max brings the light of God everywhere he goes? The kids had no clue what to do with this man. He's like, I shocked him for weeks because he opens the door. Hey, buddy, what's going on, buddy? How you doing? You know Max, right? He's like, he doesn't do that. Hey, buddy, how's it going? It's like Chris Farley or something. Hey, buddy. But he does that every time they walk in. Hey, how was your night? Let's try that. Freudian slip. How was your night? How was your study? Did you have a test? Like, he just gets into these kids' lives. I love it. It shows us that wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever time of the day it is, we can bring peace. We can bring hope. For some of these kids, I try to remember the story he told me. He told me a really cool story, but like these kids are now drawing pictures for him. Like, what if he's the only father figure in some of these kids' lives? The only taste of what a father could be like? What if? What if over the coming weeks, using great wisdom, you can bring people into your house to break bread with them? But what if? What if you look around your neighborhood and we begin to see the most broken people and sit down and say, Lord, I'm going to write a card to this person. What do you want? I don't even know them. What do you want to say to them? What if we just begin to pray like never before? I know this is going to sound controversial. It seems like I'm shooting myself in the foot. I am thankful that the church is open, but I think we're praying a lot for something for us, and I want to turn my prayers for others. I'm convinced that if you can't go 4 weeks without being in here, I've failed you as a pastor. I've made you codependent. Now, again, that seems like, do you think we should not meet? Absolutely we should meet. But my point is, if you can't go 4 weeks without being in here and your faith gets shipwrecked, I've done something wrong. And I want to change that and build you so you could be, actually what I dream of is 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months, whatever. You come back and we're like, look at the church. It's stronger than before. It's more powerful. If you don't think this is possible, look at the Chinese church. They are more powerful underground than they are above ground. And they're leading more people to the Lord in persecution than we do in a given year, in one day. You guys all breathing? I know it's thank you, Lord. You know, I wanted to share this story. I'll get ready to close. I was thinking about that scripture verse about perseverance and tribulation. I went through, you guys know, if you don't know me, 3 years ago, went through a pretty challenging time physically. And in the midst of some of the worst anxiety, challenges, shaking, all that I was going through, my doctor said, he's like, you need to get out of here and you need to go take a break and take a vacation. Now, I couldn't actually leave the country because I was on taking a leave of absence. So I'm like, where do I go that I could rest? So we thought, let's go camping. Surely nothing can go wrong. Not sure if I've ever shared this story before, but we get my parents' motorhome. I pick it up in their driveway. Nothing's wrong with it. I get it to my driveway, and the first thing we notice is it smells like gas. That's probably not a good sign. I get a mechanic out, and he says, you should be fine. It's all right. I'm like, okay. We fill it up, hit the road. Chris is behind me in the van. Can't remember who was in the, some people were with me, my kids in the trailer. As I cross over Essex County into Chatham Kent, thank you. As I literally cross over the line, bam, and I blow a tire. And that tire hits the van behind us, rips off our grill. So we pull over. It's a mess. I am already battling great anxiety. So now I'm like, oh, dear Lord. So we get out. Krista's okay. The van's got a blown tire. We just had passed the exit, so now we're past the exit, only to know and find out that the exit ahead of us is not open. We call a tow truck. I explain to him exactly what we need. He comes with this little teeny tow truck, and he looks at the motorhome and says, well, this isn't going to work. I'm like, I know. I told you that over the phone. Well, can you help me change the tire? He's like, I don't have stuff in my truck to change a tire. I'm like, what are you? Anyway. So he says, listen, I'm like, I'm going to back up. He says, don't back up. I said, I'm going to back up. He says, no, I'm going to drive ahead to make sure the next one's open. I'm like, okay, bye-bye. Because he drives, and he has to drive forever. By the time he gets back, long story short, we're already almost fixed because he had to go all the way back and all the way around. So I'm backing up the motorhome on the 401. Not a good idea. I'm backing up. Finally, I get a place to literally turn in and turn around. So now I'm going up the exit ramp. Which was great because you should see the people's faces when you go the wrong way up an exit ramp. People are looking at me. The one's hitting her husband. Like, she thinks they're going the wrong way. Hitting. I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. So we get there. There's a stoplight. I call the police. Can I go through this? They're like, if you think it's okay, go through it. It was just a mess. I finally get to a center. They call somebody for me. They come out. They fix the tire. We're good to go. I'm like, this is just nuts. So now I'm taking back roads. I'm not doing the 401. So we drive all the way on back roads. At one point, I can't see my wife in the rearview mirror, only to find out we had bungee corded our grill to make sure it stayed on. The bungee cord flew off. She saw it fly off. The grill went flying, so she had to stop. I'm like, Lord, if I can just get to the camp, please just let me get to the camp. So we get to the gate of the camp. I had intercessors at that point praying for us, like legit. I'm like, please pray. We pull in. She's like, do you know where you're going? I'm like, I know where I'm going. Just help me get, like, I just want to get there. I pull past the gate because you have to go from one gate to the next gate because there's three parks at the Pinery. I call Mike to go, Mike, I finally made it. And as I'm on the phone, the motorhome dies on me. Nothing. Dead. Can't move the steering wheel. Zippo. You kidding me? So I try forever to start this motorhome. People stop to help me. We push this thing to a better spot. People try to help me. The Pinery people, rangers, everybody's trying to help me. I'm calling mechanics, and nobody can figure out. Nobody can understand why, what's going on. So finally, I have to make a decision. We didn't even get to our spot. I had to make a decision. I have to call the second tow truck of the day, actually the third tow truck of the day. And they finally find one looking all over the place. They finally found one, and they bring this thing out, and it's brand spanking new. He has to take apart the whole drive shaft. I wish I could show you pictures, because we're standing on the road. It's got to be, what, 11 o'clock at night? There's critters running across the road. It was like a nightmare. Like a nightmare. And he's crawling under the trailer with all these critters. It was brutal. I felt terrible. He gets the whole thing taken apart, puts it up. We start to leave, and you would not believe the sounds that this tow truck is making. He has to stop several times. He's like, this is the maiden voyage. I'm not sure how this is going to work. I start thinking Titanic, maiden voyage. And this is our day. We finally pull out. He's like, I'll lead. I got it on my GPS. He gets lost. It's literally like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're driving home from the Pinery going, I think, 60 kilometers an hour. Kids are asleep. Peace is finally there. We're driving. Massive raccoon runs out in front of me. Bam! Hit the raccoon. Kids wake up screaming. They're freaked out. Tow truck driver's like, well, if you didn't kill it, I certainly finished it. Like, you got to remember, this was my vacation to get rid of my anxiety. We're driving, and I don't know who says it, but one of us says, watch, a deer's going to run out next. 3 minutes later, Bambi literally goes across the road. I look at the kids and I say, nobody say anything. Because the next thing, somebody's going to be like, watch, it's going to be like a dinosaur next. And with my luck, it'll probably like Jurassic Park, you know. We had that thing fully loaded. Ashley, my cousin, came out to help. I think it was like 4 a.m. We get there, unload the trailer, pack everything up, bring it home, go to bed. Within 24 hours, the mechanic calls and says, we can't find anything wrong with this trailer, with the motorhome. We put it back together again, it starts up, and everything's fine. What is the moral of my story? That day, as we sat and talked, we began to laugh. We began to laugh hysterically. Because I thought this was the funniest story. There's actually a really deep spiritual meaning to it. I can't go in. There really is. It was a God thing. But here's the thing that came out of it. At the end of that day, after getting home and laughing, even with my hands shaking, I went, I just survived something that I didn't think I could survive that day. And this hope, it was the first time, I think, months that I had hope that I could get better. And I'll tell you, that hope became a driving factor. Because I always look back to, if I can get through that day, I can get through this day. Like literally, what day couldn't I get through? I'm sure there's other ones, and Jesus, please help. But it became this hope and this anchor that I began to hold on to, going, if I can get through that and laugh about it, I can get through the next day and the next day. And that hope welled up in me. And it was actually a very short time later, I started to come back and started to get involved in church again. Hope is a powerful thing, and I needed the belief to go, I can get through this. Right now, the church needs an upgrade to go, you know what, it doesn't matter. Like Paul would say, it doesn't matter if I'm locked up. It doesn't matter if I'm shut down. Did you realize Paul was leading people to the Lord in prison? Prison guards were getting saved. He's like, literally in Philippians, he's like, you know what, I'm not sure. To die would be really great right now, but that would kind of be self-serving, because right now it's better for me to live, because it's actually gain for all those that I'm ministering to. Like the people that we admire so much had a very different mindset. Wherever they went, church was open, because they were the church. If we're locked down, church is open because your house is open. To an extent, you have to have wisdom. Here's my dream. What if in a hopeless world right now, what if by next Sunday or 2 Sundays from now, whatever, what if we can't join on a Sunday? Here's a crazy idea. Why don't you find somebody, invite them to your house, and watch church together? Let's try that again. Because the first time we went into lockdown, we were kind of like trying to figure this out and survive. But what if the next time, if that happens, you're like, you know what? There's a couple in my neighborhood. I'm going to have them over for coffee and see if they would like a little hope-infused moment today. You could have church right in your house watching us online, because we're still going to be here and we're going to worship. And maybe you can't be here and we have to stream it. And what if you know someone? I'm so thankful, Reg and Betty, you figured out how to get online. I'm so thankful for our church that you're like, I'm going to figure this out. But what if you find out somebody doesn't know how to get online? You're like, well, that ain't going to happen. They're coming to my house. Right. What if this could be the greatest hour? What if we begin to look at it so differently? We're like, you know what? This is an awesome opportunity for us. This is an opportunity for us to be so bright in our neighborhood that lives will be changed forever. Wouldn't it be so cool, Rod? Wouldn't it be so cool if after a Sunday, we began to get tweets and texts and different things back to us about what happened as you guys watched online and you were worshiping with us and you had your church there at a service, meaning that you had a couple people and a couple people over here, and you actually, we're all worshiping together, and we get reports that somebody gets healed while watching worship online while you pray for them in your house. And then we all come back together at some point in time and go, look at all the new people in our family. Who are these? Oh, this is during that time. You know that week when I texted you? That's them. And they got totally radically saved and set free. We need a hope upgrade. See, I'm not so concerned that we can't meet in here. I'm concerned to make sure the name of Jesus can still be preached. We'll come back here. I really honestly do believe at some point we'll be shut down for a couple weeks. I really believe it's due diligence for us to keep people safe. I believe that's a godly thing to do. But I also believe it doesn't ever shut down the name of Jesus. Ever. As I said, I think some of the greatest things can happen in the coming days. Amen? So I said that scripture, I said that story because my tribulation that day led me to have perseverance. And that perseverance led me to have hopefully a little more character. And that character led me to a whole bunch more hope. And that's what we need in this hour. Amen? Does that make sense, church? As a pastor, that can seem counterproductive. Trust me, I've had to have some hope upgrades. You can grab your communion. When this is your livelihood and your job, just like people that are devastated right now with closures. Oh, by the way, please don't understand that just because I believe that we should follow and go into a lockdown doesn't necessarily always mean I agree with everything. Just to clear that up. What I'm saying, though, is in this hour, how do we help those right now? I'm going to seek the Lord what that looks like. Personally, church can't do everything, but I can personally figure out what will the Lord lead me to do if I know someone is broken and hurting in my neighborhood? What can I do to be Christmas for them? Now, we think right away that means buying them gifts. We got to get that out of our brains. Christmas is not buying gifts. It's a wonderful gesture. We all love to do it. I love gifts. But that's not Christmas. What could we do? What could we do to bless somebody in our neighborhood? Radically transform their life. Let's get ready for communion. Everybody still love me? Never figured out how to get one layer off without getting the other layer off. If you could help me, Claude, thanks. We're going to do everything possible over the coming weeks to continue to put out materials. The cleanse is one of them. We got other things. This week, you're going to begin to see some videos, at least one drop a week of Stephen Hanratty. I've asked him to begin to put videos out to help us. He's an evangelist, a fantastic evangelist, and with YWAM and pastor, he's got a pastor's heart, but he's like, he's going to put up videos to help us be supernaturally natural or naturally supernatural everywhere we go. Because we want to equip and train you. I love the fact that this cleanse book has 10 devotionals from other people. I love it when I read it. I'm like, you know what? I think we're going to have to elaborate on this down the road with devotions, because you guys each can probably write a devotion. And that devotion will probably bless somebody. So I probably will at some point in the new year say, you know what? I want everybody to write a devotion. Here's the topic. And I'll maybe get 10 people to write a devotion on that topic and another 10 on another topic. Because if we could feed each other as well, wouldn't that be powerful? I'm serious. Wouldn't it be amazing if we come back and we're like, the church is stronger. Not weaker, stronger. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that this is not just symbolism, that when we partake, we are partaking of your body. Lord, I'm so thankful, justified by faith, that when I partake of you and I have repented, Lord, changing my mindset. Lord, when I receive of what you did on the cross, my life changed forever. And every time I receive it, it continually changes. So, Lord, I ask right now for strength as we take it. I ask for perseverance. I ask, Father God, that you would open our eyes to the needs around us. I ask, Father God, that we would run stronger than we've ever run before. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed for us. I thank you that we often make such a complicated thing or such a simple thing complicated. We need to make it simple again. It's your blood. It's your Holy Spirit. It's your power. It's your body. It's your forgiveness. It's your justification. Lord, I ask as we take this today that you would fill us, that you would ignite us, that you would pour into us. Lord, I pray if anybody's struggling with hope, whether in this building or online, that Father God, that they would begin to be filled with your presence. Lord, I pray that we begin to hear people being filled with the Holy Spirit right wherever they're at, watching online, whether it's live or later on, that Father God, they would begin to be filled with joy, filled with your Spirit. I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we take of the blood, that you would fill us to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope I've clarified myself as much as possible. I hope you understand that I believe 100% in gathering on Sundays. But I also believe 100% for you to be strong wherever you are. And that's the greatest thing that we can do, is teach you to be mighty ones wherever you are. So whether you're in Mexico, you're a mighty one. Or you're in lockdown, you're a mighty one. Or you're at your job and it's stressful, you're a mighty one. There's one scripture that says, the mighty one filled Jacob. I thought, wow, man, the mighty one has filled us. Amen.
When you were sharing just about, can you imagine what it would be like if we came back? The church was so strong, and this one, well, this, you don't know this one because they got saved here. I heard the Lord saying to me, can you hear it and can you see it? And I'm like, what do you mean, Lord? He goes, the only way to hear this sound and the only way to see this vision is to go beyond what is present and to have faith in this, in what I'm about to show you. And immediately, the sound was, have you ever seen a movie where they click back and forth to different scenes and one's quiet and the other one's so loud? And I saw in the spirit and I heard in the spirit such a roar from people talking and sharing and laughing And then I saw, and I don't, I saw then people lined up, and I know we've heard this before, but I saw it. People lined up around trying to wait for a seat to see. And this place was so jammed full. And there were testimony after testimony after testimony of, and the words were, this is when I came to know the Lord. And so there was this sense, even when I took communion, of saying, Lord, help me to see beyond my present. Help me to see beyond the present noise that I can hear the godly noise in the Spirit. Because when all of this is done, we're not going back to the old, we're not going back to an old normal, but we are going to be stronger than we've ever been before. And I don't mean we, and I don't think of buildings. And that was a phrase, I don't know if you got it somewhere or whatever, but I am the church, and my doors are open. That just hit me so strongly. I am the church, and my doors are open. And we are going to see and hear. So there will be a day where you'll look at me, and this place will be so rumbling and so loud that you'll go, remember that word? And this is what we saw. So are we willing even right now just to step into the Spirit and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And dare we say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to be used to be able to be that impact.
Amen. So why don't you stand? Corporately, we can say, yes, Lord. I want you to know when you leave here, your joy is a choice. You can't cancel your joy. Come on, right? Turn to your neighbors and say, you can't cancel my joy. Can't cancel my hope. Father God, we just pray a blessing upon everyone here. Lord, we look forward to, hopefully, meeting next week. If not, I thank you, Lord, the church is leaving the building to do greater things. So, Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would anoint everyone to another level. I pray, Father God, in this coming season that we would reach into you, that we would abide with you, that we would spend time with you, Father God, that we would put our headphones on and we just find a place and get filled up with you and then say, Lord, I'm going out, pour through me. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray you bless everyone here in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.